Hi, this is Bob Familiar, and I'm here with Stephen Tarmey. He's a software architect at Tyco Software House, a division of Tyco International. Steve, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do here at Tyco Software House and about the product that you're architect for, which is called Secure 9000.
Sure. The Secure 9000 is an enterprise-level access control system. It's installed at half the Fortune 500 companies, protecting assets in airports, banks, government centers, and whatnot, very high security centers. What I do here is I'm a developer on the server side of things. I'm responsible for the middle tier level between the database and the clients, also the interaction between the server components and the clients themselves, which is for client requests and also for server notifications to the clients.
So you're focused on the service orientation aspects,
yes,
of the product.
That's
so
right.
So a little bit more about the product. So if I'm walking into a building and I, you know, swiping a card, I very likely might be swiping against a Secure 9000 system,
yep,
or if there are CCTV cameras about,
yep,
those are all feeding into your central admin console.
Right. The Secure 9000 as a product is based on access control, but it's really more of an event integration system where a bunch of different things in a building can come together and enunciate to personnel that need to, you know, see what's going on in the building. So, for instance, a guard sitting at a guard station can watch activity from doors where you just said you swipe a card and it lets you in, or they can see, when a door is forced open, maybe that signals the system to pan a CCTV camera to look at that area where the door is to see what activity is going on there. And all of that is done through the Secure 9000 server as the hub for all of that.
It's a hub for all those messages.
Yep.
Interesting.
Lots of messages.
Now, I understand that recently you discovered something called the CCR, the Concurrency and Coordination Runtime, which is part of the Microsoft Robotics SDK. But you're using it in an application that really doesn't have much to do with robotics. Why don't you tell me about how you discovered the CCR and how you're leveraging it in Secure 9000?
Okay. Well, I attended a Microsoft event in Boston called Remix 2008, I believe it was. And my coworker and I were sitting in one of the lunchtime speakers as we're eating all this food provided by Microsoft. You know, we're tired and slow and full, and this professor from MIT comes up to the stage and he starts talking about a problem that he was trying to solve with his group. And his group specializes in RFID technology.
So it's Professor John Williams.
John Williams.
Okay.
And the RFID technology is, I mean, everybody's seen it. It's the little tags that are on your clothes when you try to leave a store and the alarm goes off and you didn't steal it, but it's still going to, you know, that whole technology obviously has much wider aspects to it than just retail. There's, you know, you might want to track a package as it goes from through UPS, or you might want to track a product from on an assembly line as it passes different states, and you can see it as it goes, you can see it, where it's been, the history of it, and you can track it all the way back to conception. So Professor Williams had the problem of wanting to track pharmaceuticals from the birth of each individual ingredient to the finished product, because there's a lot of pharmaceutical fraud that goes on, and it's a huge problem, costs millions, billions of dollars. So he wanted to track, like I just said, the ingredients as they went. And as you can imagine, there's a ton of pharmaceuticals that are created in this country and in this world every day. So that's a ton of messages that are sent to some sort of repository that you can run reports on and whatnot. He needed to come up with a way to solve the high throughput asynchronous I/O problem that this had. That's the problem that I constantly have to solve, because in a huge campus of buildings and whatnot for a Secure 9000 installation, there's a huge amount of message traffic that passes through the server. And whether it's routed to clients or it's routed to the database or it's routed to the drivers that talk to the panels and the hardware, huge.
So it's a pattern. The pattern he saw that he had needed to solve the problem for, same pattern that you have, And so that's what drew you to the CCR.
Right. And then I was thinking to myself, I'm like, you know, I saw this robotic studio probably six to nine months before. And I said, I don't make robots, so I don't, I see, I get the MSDN notifications about new technologies, and I said, I just threw it away, because I don't do robots, so I don't really need it. And when he was talking about that, I'm like, man, the next, I left Remix, and then a couple days later, I had a prototype going with the CCR.
So tell me about that. So you went back to your office, you pulled down Robotics Studio, the SDK, you dive in, you find the part about the CCR, and you drop it in your application. How hard or easy was that?
It was actually really easy. The hardest part was there's some different classes that that I've never heard. Obviously, they're part of the studios, of the CCR. I've never heard of them before. So there was a little bit of a learning curve trying to figure those out. But, I mean, I had the core of my notification mechanism out and this in a day or two, and I was sending traffic through it.
So what were then the benefits that you saw? You replaced, you know, a subsystem, right, in your architecture. Now that's being handled by the CCR. And there was also an issue with threading, wasn't there? And,
yes.
And so tell me a little bit more about that.
Okay. Well, in the Secure 9000 product, we have, in large installations, we can have 100 or more clients connected simultaneously to the server, and you can have, there can be 700, 800 panels, and the panels are what actually communicates with the door. So I'm sure most people have seen where you take your badge and you swipe it at a reader, and it, you know, unlocks the door. Well, the reader doesn't unlock the door. There's a panel that reader is connected to that has business logic in it and whatnot to determine whether or not you're allowed to get in the door. And what happens at the door needs to be sent to the server for processing, whatever business rules you want to apply to it. You want to write to the database so you have a log, because our logs are used in court hearings and things like that. They have to be consistent. They have to contain everything. So we have, at the server client edge, which we use WCF in between the two, there's that edge actually ends up being it becomes very important to limit the traffic that goes from the server to client, because you can easily, if you're sending everything to everyone all the time, you're going to flood your network, and right, the whole system's going to come to its knees, and they're going to be ripping the thing out of the wall, you know. So when we designed this thing, we were very aware of what gets sent on the wire, and only send on the wire what needs to be sent, and not flood it. Right. So as clients come up, they connect to the server and they say, I care about this type of data and these type of messages. Okay. So if a guard opens up the monitoring station and he looks and he's like, and the monitoring station has a preset, it needs to know about door activity and, you know, certain other activity, whatever. So it will wire, subscribe to the server for that activity. And some other, say, video activity in the system could be going crazy, but that client will never be sent that data because it doesn't tell the server that it cares. So at the server edge, where the server actually sends out notifications about, you know, changes to the system, to clients, that needed to be very high throughput, because we need real-time notification. I mean, this is an access control system. When a door gets kicked in, the guard needs to know about it immediately. It can't take 5, 10, 20, 30 seconds, you know, before the guard. And then the camera comes over and the guy's already out the door with all the stuff.
So it's a combination. It requires it to be asynchronous, but extreme high throughput.
Yes. It has to be real-time, asynchronous, and There's actually a type of synchronous messaging that we need in our system too, but I'll go into that in a minute. So what I was using underneath was the .NET thread pool. Okay. And the .NET thread pool is great. You know, it has all these threads just sitting there waiting to service this queue I had of messages that were outbound. So, you know, I'd queue the task, go to the thread pool, and the thread pool would send it out to the client. Pretty simple. Actually, what it would actually do is it would say, does the client care? No. Then it would return. If the client cares, then it would send it out. So with a lot of clients connected. You know, that's the thread pool's very busy. A lot of threads working, a lot of threads doing activity, because we can get 50, 60 activity messages a second easily. And so as you would see, you know, you'd open up Task Manager, you'd look in the, you'd put the threads column on, and the thread count would go up, consuming threads. And anybody knows when you consume a lot of threads, you have a lot of thread activity, you have context switching and whatnot, which is high overhead for what you want to do.
Right.
So at a point, I could flood that subsystem, and it would get behind, which is death in our business, right?
Right.
So that component, instead of, and this is why it was very easy, instead of queuing the task to the thread pool, I queued the task to the CCR. And at first, when I put the CCR in, I was thinking to myself, I wasn't that optimistic about it, because the reading that I did on it, you know, I'm one of those guys that does and then reads, you know what I mean? I don't read the instructions when I do, you know. So I put the thing in, and I read a little bit, and I said, oh, this thing is the default behavior of this CCR is one thread per core.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, well, I can see that, you know, then you have dedicated CPU processing for that thread, and there's benefits to that for sure. But I'm thinking, oh, well, I had 75 threads before, and now I have two, because I have a dual core machine. So I plugged it in, and I was seeing, you know, I did a test where I, like I told you, I flooded the system, and I could do 1,000 messages in X amount of time, right, to the client, from server to client, serialize that on the wire to the client in X amount of time.
Right.
75 threads, it took X amount of time to put 1,000 messages in. Did the same test with the CCR. Half the time. Half. It went, that X factor went to half, two threads. I was pretty happy with that.
That's very impressive. And that's without necessarily doing any additional tweaking.
No.
This is just default behavior.
Default behavior.
Interesting.
That's right.
All right.
That's default behavior. So, I mean, I catch a lot of heat. Being a server guy, I catch a lot of heat for performance, right?
Sure, sure.
And often I'm a victim of what people do to the server, but sometimes it's actually my fault because I didn't do things optimized. So I was pretty happy, but this was like early Christmas present for me. So that's asynchronous messaging, okay? But there was a really cool thing that I use the CCR for as well, for synchronous messaging. Because in our system, we have five basic message types, okay? They're pretty standard. You have object created, object changed, object deleted. Those are your asynchronous events. Those all occur after a transaction's been committed, okay? But then you have two synchronous events, which is changing and deleting, okay? And that's within the transaction. Sometimes somebody might need to block that. There might be some business case where you need to do that. Where, for instance, a very simple case is if I'm on the client and I'm editing your record and some other client goes to delete you, I don't want to allow that to happen because I'm going to have that data is going to be in an inconsistent.
It's more of a classic two-phase commit.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, obviously, whenever you have synchronous notifications, that's slow.
Right.
Because you have to wait. You have to say, do you care if I change this record or do you care if I delete this record? No. Okay, then I can proceed. And depending on where that no comes from, that's going to slow down your system. But we need this because we block state changes in certain cases, or we block deleting in certain cases for our business rules. So how I use the CCR in a synchronous manner that really was cool was that prior, I couldn't even use the thread pool for this. This thread pool, not an option. Because I needed to say, for changing and deleting, I said, you know, client one, this is assuming that they care, because going back to what I said before, so a lot of times you don't care.
Right.
But let's just say...
So these are the cases where you care. Worst
case. Let's say you have 50 clients that actually care about this one object changing. Okay. So I would go in a synchronous manner, easy, simple for loop. Do you care? Do you care? Do you care?
1 to 50.
1 to 50.
Right.
50 at the end. Go. Right? very painful. So with the CCR, there's a using an interleave arbiter with an interleave, right? What I do instead is I say, I cue it to the CCR. Do you care? 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 Right? All 50, and then I wait. And all 50 of those are sent asynchronously, right? They go like this, and they come back, and then I get either a success or an exception. If I get a blocked exception, it's internal loss. If I get the exception, then I stop, and then I don't allow it. Or else I go.
It's like the best of both worlds.
It's like synchronous asynchronous.
It's a synchronous with an asynchronous broadcast.
Exactly.
And
that's
you come
right.
back with the OR of all those answers, and you move on.
Exactly. And so that was really cool. When I got that working, I was like, wow, this is really cool. Like, I would not have been able to do that, or at least not without doing some
that. That, again, that seems like a very interesting pattern that not necessarily applies only to your application. That'd be a fairly common pattern you might come across in a lot of applications.
You would think so.
So good use of the CCR.
Right.
It's interesting to see how you leverage something that was originally targeted at robotics, but now you're using it in a more traditional line of business system. Do you have any ideas on how you might leverage CCR going forward?
Well, I think that any time that you have this problem of I/O, where you don't want to be bound by either context switching or using all your resources on threads or whatnot, the CCR can help out. One of my coworkers currently has, I believe, integrated the CCR into the socket mechanism for completion port callbacks. That actually communicates with the hardware, because he saw what was going on, what I did, and then he said, "Oh man, this is too good to pass up." You know, so I think that if I could have one request for future things, I would say that Microsoft shouldn't hide all this cool technology under names that I don't know about. I think there's these little Easter eggs hidden all over the place that could really help me out. So
well, who knows? You might get your wish.
You never know. Could happen.
Steve, thanks a lot. It's a great discussion. Thank you.
Thank you.